Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9, and my erstwhile colleague,
The Fool.
Okay, now, as some of you may or may not know, we are going to present a podcast for the Football World Cup. Some of you may have followed our blogs and things that we've updated on. Some of you may have not.
Quite likely have not.
Yes, well, given they haven't been published yet, that would be quite a feat if you had.
Well, they've been published, just not advertised.
Anyways, moving on from there, we have had squad day, and what a squad day it has been. Your main highlights of squad day?
I think the main highlights have been the people that have missed out.
I agree.
There's been a few injuries around.
Yes.
Also interesting was Fernando Torres being named in the Spain squad. Whilst that was early. Even he was surprised by his inclusion, given his season.
Yeah, I would be surprised if I were him, too. Looking at it, what is your most disappointing missing out? It has to be Falcao, doesn't it? The fact that he's not in the World Cup, such a good player.
Such a good player.
But arguably so much poorer without him.
The injury, though, was always going to...
I am not writing off Colombia's chances at all, but...
No, they don't become number four in the world from one player, especially being a South American team and playing South American other South American teams fairly regularly. If there's going to be an area of the world that's going to find out your I have one good guy and that's the team, our team revolves on that, it's going to be South America.
Well, another person who I think is quite unlucky to miss out, and this could be costly for his team, Giuseppe Rossi, who has missed out for Italy, which I think it could be problematic for them in the long run because he provides something different to Mario Balotelli, who is your a big attacking presence. I mean, he's a good player, no doubt, Balotelli, but when he's off or when he needs that other guy off him, you think Rossi'd be the perfect foil.
Yeah, sometimes you need that sort of guy. I mean, you say Balotelli's the big guy, he's a bit aggressive, he's a bit quirky as well, he likes to be there and be the man and Yeah, you do need that guy who can come in off that and just do the quiet work or be the other guy. Yep. And sometimes there's games where the big bullish guy is just not working. He's been too big and bullish and the opposition just have his number. And you're like, well, he needs swapping, putting someone else who's completely different. And that just sort of 5-10 minutes it takes for the opposition to get used to the new style, you could be opening up in that time.
I agree, but I guess Rossi just didn't show enough fitness going into it. I mean, this is the thing. Can any team afford to carry any injured players? And we'll come back to this point because this is a big point coming into the tournament. But, all right, we've talked about our disappointments. You've already mentioned Fernando Torres. Who else do you think is lucky to make their to the World Cup this year? I mean, we'll cut touch on who we all know we want to talk about later on, but other than Torres and other than our mystery person who we're going to touch on.
I'm trying to think of someone, but I'm not. Most people seem to be quite straightforward.
Do you think Roy Hodgson is going to regret having Luke Shaw instead of Ashley Cole in Brazil?
No, I think Luke Shaw and
especially since Leighton Baines looks like he's picked up an injury.
Yeah, I was thinking with Leighton Baines and Luke Shaw, you pretty much got solid guys there. I mean, you're missing some experience, but it's not like Cole's played much this season. Shaw has played pretty much the entire season. I can't think of games he's missed, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're picking the guy that's in form, who's played the games. Cole, yes, he had an injury early on, and that's why he lost his place in Chelsea, but he couldn't make his way back into the starting 11. He could hardly make his way back into the bench. I mean, that's saying a lot. I mean, he's a world-class left-back, and he's probably still arguably one of the better ones, but if he's not playing and not showing any form, and you've got two guys who are playing and are showing brilliant form, how can you go past them?
That's exactly right. And that left-back position has traditionally been a weak point for the English teams in the past.
Well, more the left mid than the left back.
Well, the left side of their left side of their team.
Well, I suppose sort of over the last sort of 6-7 years, you've had Ashley Cole to fill that spot, so the left back spot, so it hasn't been so weak there. It's been the left mid, but yes, traditionally the left side is always, but side England always.
There's like an abundance of riches now. I mean, you could not imagine Fabio Capello, for example, leaving someone like Ashley Cole back. He just loved the experience, and you'd expect Roy Hodgson to be similarly conservative, but he's not being. It's almost as though he's picking a team to try out now and do as well as he could, and well. England are your team. Do you think this is the mold, the blueprint for 2018 in Russia?
Quite likely. I mean, looking at their squad, they picked some really useful youthful players there. I mean, they got Sturridge, Welbeck, Sterling, Wilshire. I mean, these are all young guys. They're all going to be around for the next
you'd hope. 4, 5, 6 years.
Barring injuries. I mean, that's you can't plan for injuries. You take the good guys. And so, yes, maybe it is a building squad. Maybe he's picked the youth players like Shaw and co to give them that experience, this one, going, we've got a good squad.
Yeah.
We've got a bit of a tough draw. It's not going to be the easiest, but, hey, we'll do what we can, see how it goes. At the very least, we've got experience. Russia 2018, that's where we shine with the squad. And it's their playing schedule is where they're playing isn't good for England. Yeah. I mean, they're playing in the tropics, in the middle of the Amazon, you know. It's not exactly English
That's true.
Winter weather, you know.
But in a way, I think, to touch on that point about future teams, Roy Hodgson, I think, has done something smart. He knows that he may well not be the England coach after the end of this World Cup, and he's kind of left England with a good foundation, I think, with the squad. Lots of people were doubting Roy Hodgson. He's a very experienced international coach. I'm not sure I quite rate him as a winner, you know? He's basically got a bit of David Moyes in him for me. But
I see where you're coming from with that.
But he's always gotten the best out of his squad, and I think he's always played to his strengths, even if he is conservative. So I think England, I don't see them going past the first round. You know my feelings on that, but I don't think they'll disappoint their fans somehow.
No, I think they'll be good. I have hope, even though in the pool they're in, that they will make it through to the second round. Mm. If they make it through to the second round, I mean, maybe they've got a reasonable draw there. Mm. So they'll be up against a Group C team. And whilst Group C, that's your Colombia's, your Ivory Coast.
Japan or Greece.
Japan or Greece. I mean, any one of those teams
could make it.
Could make through those top two. And I mean, getting there, those are teams that England could beat.
They but could also quite easily be beaten by.
Yes, it's not a given. It'll be a tough game, but and then you get through to the quarters from there. Sure, that
and there's no easy teams in the quarters.
No, sure, that's a Spain or Netherlands or Brazil or someone like that. But hey,
that, you have to play one of those good teams on your way to win the World Cup at some
once
point,
you get to
right?
As you say, once you get the quarters, there's basically no easy teams. You're
rolling the die.
Yeah.
Speaking of favourites, obviously my favourites, the Orange Men, the Netherlands. Very atypical. They've got Louis van Gaal in charge, yet I've not heard about any problems in the squad. People seem happy. I mean, Robin van Persie seems happy, and we know he's been carrying an injury, but everyone's confident he'll make it back. Now,
he has been named in the squad as well.
He has been, and he's captain.
Van Gaal's got confidence that he'll be fit as well.
And Robin, we were thinking maybe he'd be tired after a long season with Bayern, but he looked in good nick other day.
He is looking very good. He's not looking tired. He's not looking at all slowed down.
The question mark here is how good will Wesley Sneijder be? He was probably player of the tournament for Holland in 2010 when they made that run to the finals.
Yeah.
Key man. He's been playing in Fenerbahce, which I don't want to look down on.
Galatasaray.
My apologies, Fenerbahce fans and Galatasaray fans. He's been playing for Galatasaray, and no doubt the Galatasaray are a good team.
Yeah.
And the top level Turkish teams are all very good, but the Turkish league, they're a reason why they only get two teams in the Champions League, right?
They're not in grade A.
They're not one of those top-tier leagues. No. Even not one of those second-tier leagues. You don't even count them amongst your Frances, your Hollands, or your Portugals, you know?
They're sort of similar to those. I see what you mean. They're not quite...
They've got the money, but they've not quite got the... I don't know, something about it, you know?
Possibly maybe because we're a more westernised country. We don't really follow it as much. We don't hear about it as much. Our news sources don't report on it as much. So
probably.
Maybe that might be some of that...